Chapter 25. Came the day he was cured. Well, it felt like it. He woke from what seemed to have been a normal sleep. His vision was clear. There was only a dull ache in his head, but he was still thirsty. Experimentally, he sat up. He felt shivery weak in his upper body, and briefly dizzy as he moved his head, but that passed. His right leg, stretched straight out before him, was a sight. The bare flesh filthy and strapped by bloody bandages between two massive branches. The trolls did nothing delicately. But it ached, only dully now. A bone-deep throbbing that he feared he might have to put up with for the rest of his life. Glancing around, he saw that his kit was close by, in the lee of a nearby rock bluff, still protected by the emergency blanket. Save for his own rummaging for drugs, it seemed undisturbed. He dug into his pack until he found one of his knives and slipped it into his belt at the back. Trolls or not, he felt a lot safer with some kind of weapon to hand. There was no water here, however, and his raging thirst was his first priority. That and maybe the relief of a painfully full bladder. He wasn't far from the bank of a shallow, sluggish river, a dozen paces, no more. No distance, if he'd had the use of both legs. A heck of a challenge, given the state he was in. He looked around again. There was nothing nearby he could use for a crutch. He tried pushing himself up with his arms and folding his good leg underneath, but his bad leg was an impossible obstacle. Soon his weakened muscles were trembling, and he slumped back to the ground. A troll face swam before him, a vision from his illness. It was the female cub, Liz. Looking around, he saw a few more trolls grooming in a huddle in the middle distance, a handful by the river. Most of the band seemed to be away. Liz was a bright youngster, and she could immediately see what he wanted. Without hesitation, she got her hands under his armpits and, with effortless strength and the usual troll roughness, boosted him to his feet. He yelled as his gatepost of a leg swung in the air, but Liz was still there, and he stayed upright. He threw his arm over her shoulder, and he was stable, balanced on his left leg. He managed a grin.
Thank you. You're just the right height for this, you know that? Now, water?
He pointed at the river and at his mouth. She set off that way, but too quickly, and he found himself dragged along, hopping crazily, his bad leg scraping in the dirt behind him.
Hey, slow down, Speedy.
Hop, hop.
One step at a time.
As they moved away from where he had been lying, he saw the ground was scuffed and stained for some distance around his gear. He remembered dimly how they had been moving him around. They must have cleaned him up after he soiled himself, or at least moved him out of the mess, over and over. Trolls have been observed to care for their sick and elderly. Maybe they knew to move the immobile to avoid such problems. Even so, he badly needed to clean up properly, and he ought to strip off and inspect himself for bed sores and such, not to mention a good look at that leg. He felt a sudden surge of shame that he had been so helpless before these trolls, and was flooded with gratitude for what they had done. He hugged Liz's massive football player shoulders.
Kid, you're the best nurse I could have found.
Ooh?
He got to a rock where he pissed like Austin Powers. Then Liz helped him to the river. The big old troll he called Sancho was sitting by the bank, picking fleas from the long muddy hairs on his legs. He looked up incuriously as Joshua approached. At his side was a fuzzy pink ball splashed with mud. The cheerleader's pom-pom. Joshua nodded to Sancho as, with Liz's help, he struggled to sit on the muddy earth by the water.
Like I said before, I reckon I owe you a big thank you, too, old buddy. My first responder.
Sancho shrugged, a very human gesture. Then he went back to his assiduous hunt for fleas. Joshua was distracted by that brilliant pink pom-pom. Since when did a troll carry any possessions around at all, let alone a cheerleader's pom-pom?
But it's none of my business, buddy. You carry that pom-pom. You do what you like.
Sancho didn't even glance around. Joshua turned back to his own concerns. Gingerly, sitting on his backside, he pushed himself closer to the river, dipped in his hand, and splashed water into his mouth, over his face. Then he poured it over the encrusted filth on his bad leg. He longed to immerse himself completely, but he was wary of whatever must inevitably be lurking in the water. He made a mental note to start using purifying pills for drinking water. But then he'd survived up to now, for the unspecified period while he was ill, with his only serving vessel being the cupped palm of a troll. Maybe he'd developed some kind of immunity over his years in the long earth. Clouds crossed the sun, and that deep ache in the leg intensified. Great, he thought. He was going to become one of those old farts who felt the weather in his bones. He peeled back bandages and the remnants of his trouser leg. On the exposed skin of his leg there was mud and blood and what looked like dried pus, and as the layers of filth washed away, there was a stink of rot. But he also found some kind of vegetable matter tucked away in there. Leaves, roots, a kind of greenish scrape on his skin. More troll medication? If so, it seemed to have worked. The place where the skin had broken had never been stitched up, but it had healed reasonably well. He'd have one hell of a scar to scare his grandnieces with back in Reboot, but he saw with relief there was no sign of infection, no evidence of gangrene. And if that had developed, for all the trolls could have done, he'd have lost his leg, and probably his life, in short order. He felt his way along his shin, cautiously, slowly, to the break itself. He found a hard knob of bone in there. It ached when he prodded at it. So he stopped prodding. Not a perfect match-up, then. But he had been able to walk, supported by Liz. If he could make himself crutches of some kind, he'd be mobile. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. And as he gingerly peeled back more of his elasticized bandages, he found something else unexpected. The rough and ready splints had been tied in place, not just by his bandages, but by lengths of cord, evidently taken from his pack, that had been neatly knotted. "Will you look at that?" he said aloud. "Trolls with pom-poms, now trolls tying knots. I bet you never observed that, Lovesang, did you?"
"Trolls tie knots."
The words sounded like they came from a small bullhorn. Joshua, startled, sprawled comically in the riverbank mud. Words in English? It was totally unexpected. The laughter of a troll billowed over him. It was Sancho, of course, watching his antics. Sancho, holding a troll call. Joshua faced him. "That was you." Sancho lifted the troll call again. It was the size and shape of a clarinet, a tube encrusted with a kind of circuitry, and worked when held close to the mouth.
"Trolls tie knots. Good knots. Big knots. Tight knots."
"You've got cheerleader pom-poms and now a troll call. What the hell?"
But of course, if he didn't speak through the troll call, Sancho couldn't understand a word.
"Give me that thing."
Sancho handed over the troll call. Individual trolls were smarter than chimps, but not so smart as humans. Some experts thought they might be about equivalent in intellect to the long-extinct Homo erectus. It was in their collective behaviour that the trolls were so intensely intelligent. In their cooperative hunting, and in the long call, the unending chorus that seemed to encode their race's deepest memories, as well as being a rolling account of the present, what food the scouts had found just over the horizon, which infant was showing signs of tiring on the march. But still, individual trolls did have a language of hoots and pants, of gestures, and yes, of song. A language more sophisticated than any chimp's, that was for sure. To communicate with them, all you had to do was translate that language. And that was what Lobsang, decades ago, with his pioneering troll call, had been able to do. Joshua turned the instrument over in his hands. That this device looked a lot more sophisticated than Lobsang's old prototypes wasn't much of a surprise. What was a surprise was that this eccentric elderly troll was carrying it around with him. And when Joshua turned the instrument over, he found an inscription on a small plastic plaque. Property of University of Valhalla at Downtown 2. Do not remove. Joshua smacked his head. Valhalla! That was where he'd seen pom-poms like those before. His son Rod, then known as Dan, had attended a school in Valhalla, the greatest city of the High Megas. Dan hadn't stuck around long enough to go to college there himself, but he and Joshua had taken in a few football games. Joshua turned and stared at Sancho. "You've got something to do with the University of Valhalla." Then he raised the troll call and repeated his question. Sancho frowned, listening. Then he took the troll call back, his leathery face crumpled with concentration. Every linguistic structure, from the basics of grammar on down, differed between trolls and humans. All the troll call could do was offer a kind of best-guess translation. At last, Sancho pointed to his own chest.
"Faculty."
"What? You're on the faculty? Of a college? Oh, I get it. They've been studying you, right? Like Lobsang and his troll reserve. Or maybe you're studying them."
"Tenure. Sancho got tenure. Ooh."
And he dropped the troll call in the mud, hooted, splashed, and folded his big hands over his head, obviously hugely amused. Joshua wondered if he was still in a fever dream. As the evening drew in, the rest of the trolls returned. Some brought food, armfuls of root vegetables, small game. The big female, Sally, carried over her shoulder the carcass of what looked like a young deer, but probably wasn't. They gathered close to the spot where Joshua had been lying for so long, near the bluff. The vegetables and fruit were roughly shared out. Now he was more capable. Joshua saw that this was a good sight, backed up against a bluff for defence, not far from a watercourse. Not so unlike the site he'd chosen for his own stockade, he remembered. You could hide in the rocks if those armoured elephants charged. There were even overhangs for shelter from those pesky pterodactyls. Joshua watched as the adults butchered the deer-like creature. They used stone blades, hastily selected from a scatter on the ground, to slit open the skin. Then, with the skin hauled off and discarded, they dismembered the carcass, slicing off the limbs, hauling out the entrails and organs. It was an efficient piece of butchery, even by human standards, although Joshua supposed humans would have taken more care to set aside the skin and sinews for use later. And humans mostly wouldn't have stuffed their mouths with raw meat while the butchery was still going on. Joshua, meanwhile, sitting quietly with his back against the rocky bluff with Sancho, found himself the centre of attention. Sally and Patrick both came over and hooted their pleasure at seeing him mobile, awake, smiling. Matt rolled a kind of somersault and would have thrown himself at Joshua to wrestle if, to Joshua's relief, Sancho hadn't blocked his way with a huge forearm. Then Patrick offered Joshua a slab of raw meat. Joshua took it, nodding gratefully.
"Thanks, but it's a little rare for me. I think I'll just run it through the microwave."
It was the work of a couple of minutes, even stuck on the ground as he was, to assemble a hearth from some flat stones, a few handfuls of dried wood, and wind-blown brush that had gathered in crevices in the bluff. With his flint fire starter and a few scraps of paper for kindling, he soon had a blaze going. The trolls were entranced. Soon, children and adults started hauling over larger chunks of wood to feed the flames. Joshua got Patrick's gift of meat on an improvised skewer and held it out over the flames. Fat sizzled, and soon the smell of barbecued meat caused the trolls to start patting their bellies.
"You popular."
That was Sancho with the troll call. Joshua grinned and took back the call.
"Well, I'd better be. I'm likely to be around here for a while. I ought to start earning my keep. And look, Sancho."
"Huh?"
He shook his head.
"I thought I knew trolls. I've been meeting trolls for 40 years. My best buddy was the world expert on trolls for a while. Evidently not anymore. And I never met a troll like you before. Sancho considered this, whatever the hell he made of it. Then he took the call back and hooted,
"Smarter than the average troll."
Hmm. I wonder who taught you that line.
"Librarian."
He poked his chest.
"Sancho, librarian."
The word was clear and unmistakable. What? I wish Lobsang was here. He'd love this.
"You stay. Join us."
Something about that remark seemed to amuse the old troll, and he started to laugh.
"Join us. Join us."
The others gathered closer and laughed along with Sancho as they ate, mock wrestled, cuddled, and they started to sing an exquisitely beautiful multi-part song that rose like the smoke into the air. As Joshua sat by his fire, it took him a while to recognize the tune. "Surf's up. Sancho, remind me to tell you about Sister Barbara sometime. She loved this song. She was a Californian, you know. The surfing sister, we called her."
"Who?"
And Joshua wondered what a troll librarian was for.